Rex Ryan spent the summer running from the Bulls. Will he be running for a job this year?
Probably so. The Jets don't look no better than last year.
I mean, last time I checked, putting all your faith in Mark Sanchez's basket is not necessarily going to pan out. He may have to start using some of his head coaching money to get tattoo removal.
Right. Or put a new jersey on him because he won't be in New York next year if things turn out like this.
Yeah, that's true. But this is Jeremy and Daniel today. We're going to try to break down the New York Jets for you guys. And we always try to give everybody a fair skin and try to give you some pointers for the season, what to look forward to with the Jets. The Jets do actually have some highlights in offense. I think every team has something to tune in for. But to me, it's going to come down partially to the new offensive coordinator, Marty Morniwig, who is actually going to go more of a West Coast style thing. And I think that's going to be up Sanchez's alley more. That's more of a USC style offense.
Yeah, I was about to say, actually, it'll work out for whatever quarterback does win the position. If Geno does win, then I think the West Coast offense will work out for him too. I think personally that a West Coast offense, uses a mobile quarterback. That's what they do. They move around a lot. That's what Montana was known for, moving around. One of the best, out of San Francisco, of course, and they was known for using the West Coast offense a lot. Sanchez is used to running for his life because that's what he's been doing since he's been in the NFL. So maybe this West Coast offense will work out for him.
Is it bad, though? That, I mean, it's nothing personal because I was always in Sanchez's corner for the last couple of years anyway, as far as, you know, even when Tebow was on the team. I felt that Sanchez wasn't getting the fair shake. But looking over the roster, at least of quarterbacks, to me, the best on the roster as far as proven
is
Greg McElroy.
Oh, you don't think it's Sanchez?
No, I don't.
What's McElroy done?
I mean, he hadn't got to start much, but we got to see.
Didn't they draft him last year?
No, McElroy's been around for, I think he's going into his third year now out of Alabama. And, you know, being in Alabama, we get to see a lot of SEC stuff around here. And he was quite good when he was at Alabama. I believe he got a ring or so out of that.
Then let me get this right.
Okay.
So is it me or are the Jets drafting quarterbacks every 2 years? 5 years ago, they drafted Sanchez. 2 years later, they drafted McElroy. 2 years later, they drafted Smith.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's between every 2 to 3 years they're drafting a new young quarterback. I mean, they traded for Tebow in between there, so.
Yeah, so that goes to show the office, the front office, the GM, nobody really knows who they want to put the team, you know, on whose shoulder they want to put the team.
Yeah, exactly. But they did make a few additions this year. To me, Chris Ivory is a good running back. I saw him before he really broke out for the Saints. I saw him torch the Buccaneers in Tampa. That really kind of catapulted his career. He's not really an every down back for the most part, but he can get a majority of the carries for them and actually give them kind of a ground and pound feel.
So who's there? Is he going to be the every down? But who is the every down back?
He's slated to be number one, but they got Mike Goodson, Lex Hillard, Joe McKnight, Bilal Powell. They got a handful of number two, number three backs, so somebody's going to have to emerge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would say Ivory's going to get the job until proven otherwise.
And this whole defense, was they the problem last year, or are they going to be a problem this year?
I think they're going to be more of a problem this year than last year. Last year was kind of up and down. I mean, they got some actual players. That's what we were talking about beforehand, is that they got a lot of playmakers, just they're not playing together on the field.
And and it doesn't really help much when your offense can't stay on the field to give you a little time to rest.
Exactly.
They didn't have a good run game last year. They're passing. I mean, they have who? Santonio Holmes, and is he playing this year?
Last I heard, he is. They got Jeremy Curley, Stephen Hill out of Georgia Tech. He was a deep threat even on a run team. So, I mean, they've got options. That offensive line, you said it before, that offensive line has never given Sanchez more than a handful of seconds just to turn around, let alone try to throw the ball.
If he'd keep his head out the butt.
lucky for the guy who put the butt in the butt fumble, he didn't sign with the Cowboys and decided to retire this year. So, you know, the last thing we'll have in our minds is Mark Sanchez's mind going into the back end of him. But to me, it does kind of come down to the GM and if Rex Ryan is in on these or not. I think they've got to be next year's Jacksonville Jaguars and just almost clean out the entire closet and start over. New coach, maybe new GM, because here was their thinking in the safety and cover position here. They let LeRon Landry go and replaced him with DeJuan Landry, who is the older brother.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's just one of those. You just kind of scratch your head. The main plus they've always had is Nick Folk, their kicker, who can kick from about anywhere on the field. But it's hard to compete. I mean, they're in a division with Tom Brady. They have to play him twice. So you can't really beat Tom Brady with you know, a handful of field goals.
Well, the only positive they have about their division is that they played the Miami twice and they played Tennessee. No, not Tennessee twice, but the Bills twice. And Miami, I think, is on the up. The Bills are still about neutral. They're about as bad as they was last year and about as good as they was last year. Not to speak on them too much. I'm feeling positive about that pickup they have of Manuel. I think that was a good pickup and I think he's going to make them go forward, but it's going to be a while. So I think if the Jets can pull some wins out that, we're not expecting, they could get second place in the division. It's not going to put them in the playoffs in no way, that's just saying this division is real weak.
Well, I see Miami building up a little bit.
They're
kind of going to be the juicy, popular pick for this year, I think, as far as a lot of people are going to be real interested to see what they do down there, and obviously we'll attack them on a different day. But, you know, Miami's probably the number two team here, and the Jets and Bills are going to kind of fight to see who can be that third-place team for the most part. But, you know, if either of these teams sneak up and get a few wins that we weren't expecting, we could easily see them as the number two team.
Speaking of wins, what do you think about the schedule?
Kind of like you said before, I mean, if they can make it, you know, if they can squeak out even three or four wins, I think, before their bye week in week 10, I think they could consider it a positive. Because after that, they really only have the two games against Miami and the one against Baltimore where, you know, they had the potential to lose those. The rest of the schedule is almost a cakewalk.
Yeah, with the exception of maybe Carolina. But them first nine games, I see one, two. New England and Tampa Bay is probably going to beat them. Buffalo, that's going to be a toss-up. You know, who knows when that. And same thing with Tennessee. That's going to be another toss-up between. So they could, in the first 4 weeks, be 2-2. But they're going to lose to Atlanta. They're going to lose to Pittsburgh. They're going to lose to New England. They're going to lose to Cincinnati. And they're going to lose to New Orleans. So, I mean, if they pull off one of those, I mean, it'll be a bright spot. But I see them going into their bye week. I see them 2-7. Easy 2-7. That's at the greatest.
It almost skirted past me because Billy wasn't here to remind us. They actually have two primetime games.
They only see one. Yes, ESPN.
Week two, they play New England on a Thursday. And then the Atlanta five. Game coming up in week five, which is Monday Night Football.
I am surprised that the Jets got two. I am very surprised.
Well, I think New England helped them on that one, and they just lucked out that Atlanta is actually gaining some positive stuff from the media. So, you know, with them tracking Atlanta so much, they're actually giving the Jets the benefit of the doubt there. And let's see, the flex schedule doesn't start till like week 10 or something in NFL, so that game's locked in. Their two games are going to be locked in at prime time, and maybe they can make the most of it, and who knows, maybe they can actually be competitive.
That'd be nice if they was to pull out a win against Atlanta.
Or New England. I mean, we don't know what to expect out of New England this year because all you're seeing is, you know.
And that's what's crazy about this division that they're in. The Miami could win the division. If the Jets pull out some odd wins, the Jets could win the division. There's no telling what we're going to get out of New England. Tomorrow, I think, is when we're talking about New England.
Yeah, I believe within the next 2 days, I'm pretty sure New England's on the block. We'll have to look at the list.
Talk to the two guys that are MIA today.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, Billy wasn't here to tell us about the primetime games, and Bryce wasn't here to lead us into the next one, so we'll have to check on that real quick. But yeah, this division, I mean, based off of all we've seen of New England is a few screenshots on ESPN of, you know, Danny Amendola running a cross route or Tom Brady, you know, combing his hair.
You said the name, the main thing. They still have Tom Brady. That's it's like, true. You know what I mean? That's, as long as you have him, then you have it. You're guaranteed at least an 8-8 season. That's what I think. I think this division has slowly turned into the AFC North. With Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. At first, Pittsburgh was running it wild. Cincinnati wasn't no good. Cleveland wasn't no good. And the last one, I forget. This slips my mind. Baltimore.
Yeah.
But then Baltimore started coming in. And I guess the team of, this one is Miami is the Baltimore. And then you've got, Cincinnati coming in, and we're going to see between Buffalo and the Jets, and which one of these teams is going to be the Cincinnati that starts popping up. But you're still going to have the Cleveland, which is going to be the odd one out on this one, that's going to be still at the bottom.
I mean, if you had to pick, you know, just right now, obviously we haven't went over the Bills or anything, but if you had to pick right now and say who is the Cincinnati of this division, I mean, who would you have?
The upcoming team? The team, yeah. The third place team?
Yeah, the emerging third team, as I like to call it.
Honestly, I hate to say this, but the Jets. I think the Bills, the only, like I said a while ago, the only positive they made was getting Manuel. Outside of that, they don't have a team.
I think it's true. The Jets are doing a lot more, they have a lot more together than the Bills do. The Bills are still making good moves, and they're still on the right track. They're just not quite to that level yet, I don't think.
And here's the one positive that we didn't touch on yet. The Jets last year, the reason their defense was so sketchy is because they played without Darrell Revis, and they wasn't used to this.
Yeah.
They're coming into this year, we know we don't have him. We don't care no more.
Well, now Cromartie did quite well filling in for him, but that's only one shutdown at that point.
Didn't Cromartie leave too?
No, they still have Antonio Cromartie, I believe.
I thought he went to,
You might be thinking about Rogers Cromartie.
There you go. There you go.
I get them confused too. I had to look it up. But they had him fill in for Revis, and he did well. The problem is, if you only have one shutdown.
But didn't they draft a cornerback?
They did.
The number one pick was a cornerback, I thought.
D. Milliner out of Alabama, who could
yes,
be.
Yes, and, I mean, and he is good.
He's kind of like the new Revis anyway.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's positive to this team. They did real good in the draft. And, I mean, getting Geno Smith in the second round, who should have been a first rounder.
Yeah, that could be. And also in the first round, because they had two picks. The number 9 pick we talked about, and the number 13 pick was Sheldon Richardson, the defensive tackle out of Missouri. He could actually start out of the gate.
So I think this team actually is it might be better. They might be better. Me looking at the schedule, I think they're going to go – I said I gave them maybe them two, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6. I see maybe 6-10 at the best.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to agree. I was thinking as much as I'd love to have everybody be 8-8 as I like to be accused of doing. Seriously, to give them benefit of the doubt on a couple of them and the coin flips. Between 5 and 6 wins, and yeah, 5 and 6 wins, and they're probably going to have a new head coach and or a new front office next year because it is badly needed.
Even if they go 8-8, if Rex doesn't make a playoff, leave, he's gone.
Yeah, and I believe Sanchez will follow him out the door. Not necessarily to wherever he goes, but I think he'll follow him out the door.
If it is.
I mean, all the publications I read, all the people I talked to, a lot of them brought up the same thing. When I first mentioned Sanchez, they said, would Mark Sanchez still be on the roster if the Jets didn't owe him $8.25 million in guaranteed money this year? And the easy answer is no. If they didn't owe him that money, maybe they keep Tebow. Maybe they trade and get somebody else. Maybe they come up in the draft and grab a bigger quarterback. But $8 million, if they get rid of him, it's still on their cap, and they would still have to pay him that guaranteed money. So you might as well just see if he's going to pan out.
Bunch of what-ifs.
Yep, exactly. But that's going to do it for us today. I'm Jeremy, and joining us as always, I guess we're always here, is Daniel. Appreciate you being on Drop By. And hopefully for all you guys who aren't Jet fans, we gave you something to look forward to. And in the next couple of days, we will have a Tom Brady feature, so you'll have to catch that one. But for Daniel, this is Jeremy, and we'll see you guys next time.
All right.